This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. We continue with the effect on our most vulnerable citizens. There are more than 500,000 people living with dementia, and their caregivers face special challenges in trying to guide them through this. Let me give out the numbers if you have comments or questions. I know a lot of people are in that situation. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now I'm joined by Dr. Saskia Sivanathan, Chief Science Officer at the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. Hi, Dr. Sivanathan. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So I imagine that there are two big issues here. First of all, if someone is suffering with dementia, they can't really understand what's going on and what they should be doing. And the other is that they usually do better when they have their family and their friends around them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'd start by saying that dementia is already a disease that has significant stigma. People living with dementia face discrimination in many different ways, and it can lead to isolation. So when you add the pandemic of COVID-19 on top of that, it can really make this an even more stigmatizing and isolating experience. But you're right, depending on the stage of dementia that people have, because of course, when you're at the earlier stages of dementia, this might not be as challenging as when you are later in the later stages. People with dementia do tend to do better with familiar faces and with routine. So, of course, with the pandemic, it can be difficult for them to sometimes understand or be able to follow the procedures that we now have in place, such as physical distancing and personal care. But that doesn't mean that it's not possible. There are certainly things that we can do to try and support them to be able to continue with them. But more importantly, I think the bigger concern are caregivers of people living with dementia. We already know that there can be quite a bit of stress in terms of providing that care, even when you do have access to regular health services and to programs and services. And so now, not having that access or having it in a very different way can be particularly challenging because you might no longer have day programs or respite care to give caregivers a bit of a break. So yes, we are concerned about it, but there are absolutely things that we're doing to try and address some of those challenges.
Can you give people who are listening, give our audience an idea? I mean, say the person you're caring for is somebody who is at, a middle or more advanced stage. I mean, how do you get them to cooperate with social distancing or with frequent hand washing?
Mm-hmm. I think the approaches that most carers of people living with dementia take for any other routine activity would be the same thing that you would apply here. It would just mean having to have some extra steps in place before you get to the hand washing or before you are trying to explain what social or physical distancing is. So I'll give you an example. First of all, I want to just touch briefly on dementia itself, because people do have preconceived notions about what it is and what it looks like. It is to understand that it's an umbrella term for a range of diseases. So Alzheimer's disease is the most common, but it includes other ones like Lewy body disease, frontal temporal dementia, vascular dementia, and they can have different symptoms and they can have different trajectories. So that's important to keep in mind. We think about the memory loss, but that's that's not the only component of the dementia. And that means that the approach that you take with the person who's living with dementia will be different depending on what kind of dementia they have and where they are in that disease. But for example, if we were to talk about physical distancing, and this could be particularly challenging because we know those familiar faces and routine is so important. But we're stressing that it's physical distancing, but not social distancing. The social connectedness is still so important and even more essential in this time. And so we have some tips that we're sharing on our website. And
yeah, can you share one or two of them with us?
Absolutely. So the first one I'd say is pick up the phone and call the person. I think we don't use that enough, or we think that we don't need to use it, but it's important that we do still talk to the person who's living with dementia. Give them a call. It just means that the approach, you don't want to just assume that they know who you are and don't get upset if they don't, because they're not able to see your face necessarily, but you could reintroduce yourself and talk to them about where they what they're doing right now and have that conversation. We would also say to stay connected virtually as much as possible. So if you can use FaceTime or Skype and you can connect with the caregiver or someone who is around the person living with dementia to stay connected virtually, use those means of staying socially connected, even if you have to be physically distant.
Okay, I'm going to take a call from Lynn in Peterborough. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm only calling because I'm really concerned. There's Pinecrest Long-Term Care in Bob Cajun. My daughter-in-law works there. She works in activities, but she's been doing frontline work for the last week straight because they don't have any help. They have no help. They have 65 residents, 3 people looking after them. They're all on trace. 3 are already COVID-19 positive. 2 residents died that weren't even confirmed COVID-19. I'm afraid all 65 probably have it, and they can't get help. We have already notified the premier. Long-term care keeps phoning there. What do you need? They need help. Not supplies. They just need hands-on help.
Yeah, well, we just talked to the minister, and she said she's in touch. Frankly didn't quite answer. She said they're working on it, and she didn't quite answer the question that I had. If there was a shortage of staff to begin with, how are they going to get staff? She'd said they're trying to contact people who are retired to come back. And I guess you have to see how it works. But there's often, a disconnect between what people are doing and planning at the top and what is happening on the ground.
I know. And long-term care, and the health units, they're all familiar. They all phone every day to see how things are going. And meanwhile, these vulnerable people are dropping dead. Yeah. And there is no hands-on help. They've reached out to some of the private companies that provide PSWs. They can't get help.
I would imagine, Lynn, keep in touch with us on this. We'll see if it gets any better now that there are emergency measures in place.
I hope so, because like I say, even the staff, they're all out on quarantine. 8 of them are COVID-19. And like I say, my daughter-in-law works in activities, but she's doing frontline work because she feels badly.
And you're worried for her for sure, right?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lynn, for your call. And we hope to hear from you as this progresses. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, there you go. So that's somebody who probably, Dr. Saskia, would have been doing activities for people with dementia.
Yeah, that's right. And we've been hearing about that, where staff who are doing other types of activities are now moving to cross-functional and just helping out wherever they can. And it's particularly concerning in long-term care. I absolutely hear and feel for Lynn. And then again, when you consider there are people living with dementia, and a much larger proportion of them would be living in long-term care, the kinds of supports and hands-on needs that they have that aren't being met is absolutely a huge concern.
Okay, I'm afraid we're going to have to wrap it up there. Dr. Saskia Sivanathan, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.